BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
I'm Michael, I'm 19 and I'm from Rochdale. You might not know this, but one of my best friend's dads is the third best pantomime dame in the UK. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
This is the Scott Mills Daily.
Michael, show introducer. Thank you for being on.
It's all right. I'm a proper Mills fanboy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've listened for like 7 years, so.
Wow. How many Scott Mills points have you got?
Since you started on 1 o'clock, 270, because I started again, because I didn't write it down before.
Oh, that's a shame, because they were still valid.
Oh.
So you should have kept a note of that.
Yeah, I should have, really.
Which, as a fanboy, is a bit of an error.
I know.
Right, so you're 19, you're from Rochdale. Tell me about the pantomime dame.
One of my best friend's dads is the third best pantomime dame in the UK.
I didn't realise there was a chart of pantomime dames.
No, neither did I. She just kind of sprung it on us on the first day of secondary school. Oh, by the way, my dad's a professional pantomime dame, third best in the country.
Is it like the Sunday Times Rich List?
I think it must be. I think they must have a special publication for just for pantomime dames.
The Dame Gazette?
So if he's third best, he's a bit like Andy Murray in the pantomime dame game.
Yeah, I don't know who the Rafael Nadal or Djokovic would be, though.
Christopher Biggins, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
So is this guy famous?
Well, he's been in Coronation Street. He's fairly famous, yeah. He's famous mainly for being in pantomimes, because he does, like, 15 a year or something.
Was he a pantomime dame in Corrie?
No, he was a baker, I think.
He wasn't Richard Hillman, then?
Not that I know of.
The one that drove Gale into that icy river.
Pantomime dame, almost a moonlighting of the serial killer.
I'm going to drive you into the river. Oh, yes, I am!
Oh, no, you're not.
Has he got a dame name?
The one that we went to see was when he was called Nurse Nora, which I do have an autographed poster from.
Amazing.
So he changes it up. He's not the same dame all the time.
Oh, no, he does like 15 different pantomimes a year, so he changes it up.
How can he do 15 pantomimes a year?
Because he writes them and directs them and stars in, like, 3 a year and all that sort of stuff. But he has his fingers in about 15 pies.
Yeah, we've spoken to panto people before, and it's true. It is a... I know it's only, for us, a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
But it is a year-round occupation, because you have to write it, you have to stage it. So people are working on pantos all year round.
In the summer as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts writing them in, like, March.
Yeah. They do follow a theme, though, don't they?
They do.
Oh, Tannoy.
Yep, Tannoy.
Where are you?
I'm in the bus station in Rochdale at the moment.
Okay.
On my way to work.
So, is your friend proud of her dad being the third best pantomime dame in the UK?
I think she's kind of loud and proud about it, really, because, I mean, she does all the musicals herself and things, so...
Oh, it's a jazz hands family.
It is a bit of a jazz hands family, although her mum is a teacher.
I bet they sing every time they go to the fridge. You know,
well,
like,
what do you mean?
Well, you know, like drama students do.
Japan.
I went to an awful party once with a load of drama students, and they started singing things like, "I'm just going to the fridge to get a drink." And I was like, seriously, get me out of here immediately.
It is true. It is true. My best mate, one of my best mates, Webbo, used to hang out with a load of drama students, and they were like that.
It's one of the worst nights of my life.
We're off bowling.
It was awful.
It's a good gimmick, though.
It is. It's one of the better gimmicks, isn't it? Oh, by the way, I'm a drama student.
Oh, no!
Oh, sorry.
Oops. Oh, I put that right in there, didn't I?
You're a very nice guy.
We think you're the best!
But we hate you now.
I'm getting on the bus at the Rochdale bus station.
To go to work.
Well, Michael, let us know what pantos he's going to be in, you know, upcoming ones, and we'll check out and see where he gets to on the list. He might make number one day.
Novak Djokovic of his time.
Exactly. Michael, thank you so much for being on today.
Do you know what that means,
right,
Scott?
I've no idea.
Okay.
And good luck with your bus journey.
Thank you.
Are you going
just
far?
On the bus now. Probably about 5 minutes.
Good luck really with your bus journey.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
It's such an adventure for you getting on the bus, isn't it, Scott?
It really is. You never know, it could end up like Speed.
No.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Scott.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Have you ever sat watching a film thinking, this is so good, but something like this would never really happen? I have a lot. When you just turn to the person you watch it with and go, really? Now, we're here to test out this for you. to see if films are like actual life. Last week, we discovered that Top Gun is not true to life in any way, is it, Chris?
No.
And they don't join in singing You've Lost That Loving Feeling in a bar, like what happened with Tom Cruise and that woman, Kelly McGillis. So for this one, you need to go out, don't you? You need to leave the building.
Yeah.
So keep listening for our experiment to see if one particular scene in Terminator 2 is true to life. And that is coming next. Out you go. Where are you, Chris?
I'm in a cafe down the road from the Radio 1 studios at the moment.
Are you inside it or just lurking outside?
I'm just sort of lurking outside at the moment. It's quite busy because it's lunchtime.
And the film you're going to recreate today to see if it would happen in real life is...
Terminator 2.
Now, in this, I don't know if you've seen it, you might remember it, there is a bar which Arnie walks into, Arnold Schwarzenegger, with loads of hairy bikers in it. And they're drinking beer and playing pool, you know, one of those kind of bars. The kind of bar where everyone puts down their drink and turns around and looks at you when you walk in.
Yeah.
And Arnie is scanning all the people with his robot scanning device. You don't have one of those, Chris, do you?
No, I don't, no.
And he finds someone about the same size as him, and he says this to him.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
They all laugh. So he says, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then the bloke laughs, stubs his cigar out on Arnie's chest, then Arnie throws him through a window, and eventually the guy gives Arnie the keys to his bike and his clothes. What we need to know is, would this happen in real life? Now, is this place quite similar to the one in the film?
Well, I suppose it's cafe equivalent.
Are there any bikers in there?
No bikers. There's no pool table. It can get rowdy sometimes.
Do you reckon there's fights happening there? Do you think anyone ever throws each other over the counter while they're making a salad?
There is actually a dent in the window. So
is there?
I'm wondering if that's from previous damage.
Maybe someone got given the wrong focaccia.
Yeah.
Right, OK, so we're going to see if Terminator 2 is true to real life. Would that actually happen?
How am I doing this then? Right to the tables?
Yeah, and you need to get someone's clothes and their motorbike. Simple.
Okay.
So you got what you need to say?
I need your clothes, your boots and your motorcycle.
All right.
Yeah, make my way to the back. Clothes, boots, motorcycle. Yeah.
Check. Do they look mean?
I need your clothes, boots, or motorcycle. No. Have any of you got clothes, boots, or motorcycle? Oh, okay. No, sorry. Oh, wrong person. Sorry. Cheers. No, that's not good. And he just sort of stood up in front of me.
Did he try and put a cigar in your chest and stub it out?
He didn't, but I was worried I was going to be the one that goes through the window.
And you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, so that wouldn't do.
It didn't work.
You're supposed to put him through the window.
It's not gone to plan because I didn't feel Terminator enough there. I was almost a bit polite.
You went in a bit meek.
Yeah.
I really think the problem there was the voice.
Right, okay.
You didn't do the voice.
Not Terminator enough.
Have a listen and try and copy it.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Go.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
You sound like Cheryl Cole.
I need your clothes. All right, well.
You smashed it.
Okay. Am I going in?
Yeah, in a sec. What are you wearing?
Jumper and T-shirt and a coat.
No. That's where you're going wrong there.
Right.
Because Arnie was completely naked in the film.
I'm not going in. I'm not going in naked. I'm not going. We can stop this one right now. I'm happy to march slightly different like Arnie, but I'm not.
Arnie clearly had no clothes on if we're going to recreate this, and he did his voice.
I'm on one of the busiest main roads in London. I'm not walking in without.
He was in a busy bar full of bikers.
If I take my top off, we're going straight in, Scott. I'm not mucking around outside. We'll have to stop this talking and get it done.
That's fine. Just the top. Don't drop trowel.
Right, okay.
Just the top half, yeah?
Oh.
Remember the phrase? And we'll see if a fight breaks out and then someone stubs a cigar out on your chest, and then you throw him through a window.
When you say go, I'm just going to whip the shirt off and then go and coat off already. Just going to whip the shirt off and I'm just going to get this done because I just want this over with now. I'll do the Arnie voice as well.
Best I can. You need, remember the Terminator march as well, okay? We need to get this absolutely right as the scene was intended.
Right.
And now, on Radio 1, my friend Chris tries to work out if Terminator 2 is true to life. Ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1, go!
Top's coming off.
Good.
I'm going in.
Remember to scan people as you walk in.
Oh, God. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. No, I'm gonna. No, I'm having to leave now, I think. Can I have my top back, Chris? Where's my top?
What happened?
I think we're having to leave. I tried. He looked up, he had sausage in mouth, and he just looked up at me. It was all a bit weird.
With the sausage in his mouth?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't go well at all.
I've just left. Hang on.
Why didn't you throw him through a window?
Throw him through a window?
Yes, that was the idea of it.
He was midway through his all-day breakfast. I couldn't throw him through a window.
So quickly, in summary, Chris.
Terminator 2 is not like real life.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi, Chris.
All right?
Yeah, I'm good. Wow, who knew? If you'd never watched that film before, wouldn't bother with it now. That wouldn't happen in real life. See, the first one, you weren't in character.
I need your clothes, boots, your motorcycle. No. Have any of you got clothes, boots, or motorcycle? Oh, OK, no, sorry. Oh, wrong person, sorry.
Wrong person. But second one, I think you nailed it.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. I'm having to leave now, I think.
Do you know what would have been absolutely brilliant? Coz has been on. Someone called Coz from Berkshire. If he had stubbed his sausage from his all-day breakfast out on your chest, that would have been the one.
And then I would have thrown him through a window.
Yeah, of course. Instead of the cigar, it could have just been the hot sausage in the chest. So, Terminator, not true to life. Now, if you've got any films you've sat there sometimes watching and thinking, I really like this, but I wonder if that would actually happen. Just let me know on the Radio 1 Facebook. Just search Radio 1, you'll find it. On Twitter, at BBCR1. Or on text, 81199. Any specific scenes from films that you think, well, would it happen in real life or not? And Chris will act them out exactly as the scene was in the first place. Just like he did there. We're still looking for these films that we can reenact to see if they're true to life or not. What about where you could be the little boy in Home Alone who orders the pizza and then plays clips from the film over the TV? Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
That'd be pretty cool. And you get to eat loads of ice cream and pizza as well.
Yeah.
Because your parents aren't there. That's from Alex, catching fish at work. Intriguing.
What kind of job's that?
I don't know.
Fisherman, I guess.
I quite like it. Yeah, fisherman probably. Loads of people are saying When Harry Met Sally. That's going to be awkward. But it is one of those ones we should probably do at some point. Classic scene from a film. And then there's one from Jerry Maguire, where he walks out and you see if the whole office goes with you.
Oh.
That would be an excellent one to do. Any more, just keep them coming in.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, James.
Hi, Scott. How's it going?
All right. Have you just come out of an exam?
Yeah, literally about 45 minutes ago. It was all right. Can't complain. It was not too bad.
What was it for?
English. I'm a fresher, so English exams aren't like massive. But it was tricky. It wasn't too bad though. I'm happy with it.
Good. Now you introduced the show last week.
Yes, I mean that was awesome.
And remind us what your fascinating fact was about yourself.
I asked Hannah Burney for her number, and promptly got rejected because she has a boyfriend.
That's Hannah off of The Voice.
Yes, the blonde bombshell from the week before last, I think.
And what was it you said? She had a boyfriend, but you could tell that she wanted you.
I could tell that there was a look in her eye that maybe she wanted to give her number, but felt kind of that she couldn't really do it.
Now, have things moved on at all? Because Chris, I know it's his new favourite thing to do, is just to stalk you two on Twitter.
I've been seeing the tweets that you've been sending each other, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
It all seems to be progressing quite nicely.
I just, there was an element of joviality, I think, to a couple of them. There was a bit of a joke here, a joke there. I think it was quite nice.
Didn't you invite her out to your birthday?
I did. My birthday's on Saturday, and if she fancies it, if she's listening, maybe, 19th of May, go for it.
So how did it restart up again? After you introduced the show last week and you came on and said you'd been rejected by Hannah off The Voice, then what happened?
I'm not entirely sure. I think she heard the interview.
Oh, okay.
And she heard the bit about me being the Milky Bar kid, like a generation ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she tweeted me saying, "Didn't know you were a Milky Bar kid. That's quite cool. Smiley face."
Maybe you've managed to gain her interest through being the Milky Bar kid now.
Maybe.
Were you actually ever the Milky Bar kid, or did you use this to get the girls?
It's a bit of a weird one, because I won this competition, like, when I was 16, about, like, it was, like, the Milky Bar Kidult thing, and I went to London, filmed, like, an advert. Although I am blonde, but they forced a blonde wig upon me anyway, which is kind of weird.
Weren't you too old to be the Milky Bar Kid at 16?
I was actually, no, because there were four winners, and the four of us, I was the youngest one. And they sort of did, like, a group advert, and it was kind of like there was this 64-year-old guy who had, like, a bit of a Wild West Milky Bar thing going on, which was odd.
I'm a bit confused. Is this like the movie Grease, where everyone's actually pretending to be young, but are in their mid-30s? Because I thought they were about 10 or 11. They're obviously not.
Well, the original ones were, but it's like, this is, like, 2009 or something, to that, where they just did, like, a big change-up.
James. Are you making this up?
I'm genuinely not making this up. Oh. There was a controversy.
I'm smelling some kind of rat here, and I don't know what it is.
I think it's that he knows that the ladies love this. I mean, from what this tweet was from Hannah from The Voice, it said, "Why didn't you tell me you were the Milky Bar kid? This is so cool, smiley face."
Chris, you should use this with Rihanna.
Well, yeah, pretend to be the Milky Bar kid.
What's the Milky Bar kid? Right, so you genuinely were one of four Milky Bar kids. This is becoming less impressive by the second, James. At the age of 16.
Yeah.
All right, then. I believe you.
It genuinely happened.
So now you've got to the point where you are flirting on Twitter with Hannah off of The Voice.
I don't know if I'd go that far, because her boyfriend is still an actor, and he's 2 years older than me, so...
he would duff you up.
Maybe. I've never actually met him, so I'm not sure, but I don't know.
If you are Hannah from The Voice's boyfriend, and you are listening right now in Exeter, I really wouldn't worry too much.
No one's going to be scared of the Milky Bar Kid, is it? You know what I mean?
I don't know. The Milky Bar Kid was like a cowboy.
He did have a gun.
And a lasso, didn't he?
And a lasso. Think again. Chris, have you heard anything from Rihanna yet? Because you tweeted her last week about going to the Watford match.
Yeah, nothing.
No.
Amazed at that as well, because a load of other people who heard us got involved and started tweeting her for me, and nothing.
Yeah. I know there was some heat around that conversation from loads of people retweeting it. Nothing.
Oh, that's disappointing.
We should have a little contest between you and Chris, James.
Ooh.
Who's going to score first? Will it be James with Hannah off The Voice, or Chris with Rihanna?
Yeah, right. So what the rules? All right, I'm up for that.
Okay, Chris is on.
Good to speak to you, James.
I'll speak to you soon.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Well, Chris, you heard it. The race is on.
Yeah.
Who's going to win? Is it going to be James with Hannah Burney, or is it going to be you with Rihanna?
Well, I've got my tweet out.
Well, let's start. What are you saying to Rihanna, eh? Hey, hey.
But hi, Rihanna. Have to hurry you. Would really help me out.
Have to hurry you. Well, she's Rihanna.
It's a race.
That's almost as good as Unlucky Gary offering Beyonce a drink by doing the international hand sign for... Do you want a drink?
Hi, Rihanna, have to hurry you. Would really help me out if you came to next Watford game with me. We'll have to be mid-season friendly. Keen? Question mark. I mean, I hope she gets the urgency of it.
Yeah, has that been sent?
That's sent, yeah.
Awesome, okay. You see, with boys, as soon as you add any element of competition to things like this, it just goes wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm calling on my mates now. I could do with your help, actually, Scott.
In how?
Do you want to tweet Rihanna now?
Why should I do this?
To help me out, because she's ignoring me at the
saying,
moment. Rihanna, it's Scott, can you tweet Chris? And then I don't know, really.
Right. This is urgent.
Yeah, just try and convey the urgency with it. Rihanna, it's Scott,
Why are we doing this? Like, what is the ultimate aim here? Right, because you are having this kind of standoff with James and Hannah from The Voice. It's you and Rihanna.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it, a picture of you with Rihanna in your house? And you're both wearing Watford shirts, is that it?
I think, what about if we say Rihanna in a Watford shirt against Hannah from The Voice dressed as the Milky Bar Kid?
With that, James in the picture.
With James, that seems fair.
Right, there we are then. We've set it up. That's what you need to happen. But I don't be bringing me on in it.
Tweet now.
No.
Rihanna, it's Scott. Can you tweet? And then my Twitter thing. And then maybe just...
I like your urgent voice. Rihanna, it's Scott.
Are you going to do it?
Well, no.
Why?
No.
Tweet it.
Right.
Just get it done.
Coming up, we've got... The Scott Mills Daily. This evening, I have an exciting engagement. I am being a DJ at a private party. Now, I want you to think to yourself, who is going to be really in the mood for a party this Monday evening? Who, out of anybody, would love to celebrate with a massive big party tonight? I think they're going to be right up for it.
It's a Monday night as well.
Yep. Anybody?
I can't...
They are famous.
I can't think of anyone.
Who's going to be really, really up for a good time tonight?
Are you going to tell us?
It's the Manchester United football team.
What do you mean?
That's who I'm DJing for tonight.
What?
Now, as research for this, I did watch Match of the Day last night with my dad, who was down.
When did they book you? Yesterday or...?
No, I've been booked for a while. And it appears that they didn't win something yesterday, from what I saw.
Oh, God.
But there was such drama. It made me like football.
You watched Match of the Day as well? That's quite impressive.
I did, but only because my dad was round, and we went out for dinner, and then we watched it. We were a bit behind, but we watched it. It was really good. I very much enjoyed it. Oh, that goal in the final, whatever it was, really good.
Right.
And I like that, what's his name, Sergio Aguilera, is it? He is my absolute favourite now.
Who?
Will he be there tonight?
What's his name?
Sergio Aguilera.
Say it again.
Aguilera.
Aguilera. Sergio Aguilera. Yeah. Very good.
I've just looked at my emails. It's the Player of the Year Awards.
Oh, who has made this booking? This is incredible.
Sometimes, as a Radio 1 DJ, you do look at bookings that have been made and go, why do they pick me? And this is one of them. But I'm very honoured to be doing it. It says on here, I'm very welcome to the Theatre of Dreams. What does that mean? What is that?
This is going to be so good.
And you'd think they would provide some damage limitation here, for someone that knows nothing about football, by just having me DJ away from the players. But no, I've got a space on the table at the dinner as well.
Do you know any of the players that are actually going to be there? Or?
Well, I imagine it's going to be... all of the players, and then one of them is going to get Player of the Year. Is it going to be, like, really down in there? Are they going to be upset?
It's probably not their greatest day, is it? But you do know that Sergio Aguilera, as you call him, he's not going to be there.
Is he the other one?
Well, yeah, he plays for completely the other team, Scott.
Sure.
All right, cool. I can't believe they've booked you for this.
It'll be fine.
I mean, you've got to be careful about what you're going to play there. And
do I?
Yeah, there's certain songs that you've definitely got to play if it's Man United, obviously.
Right.
There's one...
Well, I need to get downloading them. What do I need?
Well, can I come? I'll make you a CD. You need to get... there's a song called Blue Moon that you need to make sure you play. They love that.
All right.
And then at the end, you need to finish with You'll Never Walk Alone.
I know, even I know that's not true.
It's like a big sing-along.
Don't be making me play things that where it's going to get rowdy.
No.
I just think that that's a weird time to put it on, isn't it? Like, today, the day after.
You need to make sure, you know, Queen, We Are The Champions. Get that one. Get that
right,
one.
Stop this, because this is going to... Also, I won't really know who anyone is. And I know that they are legends, but I don't know... I know some of them. I know Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
He's there, isn't he?
Well,
Hope so.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, because it's a dinner, there'll definitely be table names, won't there? There'll be, like, place names on the table, so I'll be fine.
Right. Can I come?
And then, yeah, maybe. It might help.
I think you're going to need me there, to be honest.
Well, what I'll do, what I normally do, and just, if I don't know who they are, I'll sneakily Google them under the table.
Right.
Because I'll see their like, place name. That their name will be on the...
I mean, you're going to have to do shout-outs, and
Am I?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you know what? Rio Ferdinand, thinking about it, you can play him that Duran Duran song you like. You know that Rio? Her name is Rio and she...
Do they actually like that, though?
Yeah,
or is that just
that.
The fans?
Yeah.
It's a bit like when we say, oh, if you go up to the bloke who plays Victor Meldrew and go, I don't believe it, he loves it. They don't.
Mm.
It's like the woman, like who Ruth Jones, who plays Nessa. If you go up to her and go, oh, what's occurring? We always say that she'd love it. She really doesn't.
Well,
if I play Rio, I'll be escorted out.
It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Okay.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
This is a bit worrying. My boss has just come in and said, be careful about tonight's gig. What could go wrong? Also, if they don't have names on the tables,
yeah.
Surely they'll just have the names on their backs, won't they? So I can... I'll know who they are.
Are you bringing your football shirt?
Have I got one?
Well, I'll get you one.
Oh, let's not get shirts made for this.
Yeah,
no.
Let's definitely get shirts made.
Got to leave in like 2 hours.
I'm going to get it done.
No, don't.
It's going to be fun, and I'm going to record some of your shout-outs, hopefully.
Excellent. I probably won't talk that much on the mic. I think it's probably best.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So, Britain's Got Talent, Saturday night. Simon's face when a dog won £500,000 of his money.
It's crazy, isn't it?
A dog won.
It's absolutely mad.
But a good dog.
Incredible.
A really good dog. Like, they had that one Gin on before. Wasn't a patch on this one?
No.
Like, the best dog act I've ever seen. And Simon said it was... I think he said something like, well, my life's work here is done.
Do you think
he's genuinely pleased about the fact that a dog has walked off with £500,000?
Didn't he put up half the cash as well?
Yeah.
I think they were an amazing act, though. I mean, they were spectacular.
Yeah. The tricks, I've never seen the like of before.
But I've got a bit of a conspiracy theory about this.
Oh, here we go.
I don't believe a dog can do those kind of tricks. I mean, it was up on two legs, it was running, it was doing all sorts.
Yeah.
At one point, it looked like it was doing the hand drive. I don't think it's an actual dog.
What? What are you on about?
Well, I was looking at it closely, and I don't think anyone's questioned it, but I don't think that's a dog. This is my theory.
What is it, then?
I think it's like a small person or something in a dog outfit.
That isn't possible.
Of course it's possible. The tricks it was doing were just ridiculous.
It's clearly a dog.
I'm not so sure, and I think someone should look into it. Because I don't think
anyone
has...
Are you serious?
£500,000 has gone to a dog. I don't think it has. I think it's gone to a small person in a dog outfit.
Do you truly believe this?
Honestly, I do. I think someone needs to check these things. I'm just raising the question. That dog was exceptional. I don't think it's a dog.
I don't think that you're right.
Seriously, if you look at that dog really closely, it doesn't look like a proper dog.
How?
It just... There's something... suspicious about it. Not only the way it dances, but the way it looks as well. I mean, it's perfectly groomed, clean, everything. It doesn't dribble. There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
So you've never seen a clean, groomed dog before? What are you on about?
I just don't think it's a real dog. I think what's going on is it's a big scam. There's a small person in a dog outfit running around.
That has to be really small.
Doing like the Macarena and whatever it was doing on Saturday night. And everyone's going, this is the greatest dog act of all time. It's not. It's a small man in a dog outfit.
But if it was a small man in a dog outfit, they could make the tricks even better because it's a real person.
No, but then that would raise suspicion, wouldn't it? They've done it well. They've done it well, have they done it? But it's quite clearly not a dog.
So,
and I think before they perform for the Queen, I think someone needs to say something, and I'm doing that.
So you're saying that if the dog went on and did the cha-cha slide, then that would be too suspicious, because
yes,
that would just be a person.
Yeah.
So what they've cleverly done is make the tricks better than any other dog, but not so good, so we don't believe that it's not a dog.
Yeah, and I also think if you put a microphone on the dog when it was performing, there's probably a small little man in there just going like, oh God, I'm doing my back in. But they didn't put a mic on the dog. I just think...
They missed a trick there.
Unless they were in on it, that's the only other thing I can think, that Simon Cowers put the small man in a dog outfit...
I wouldn't put it past
him. There, and then is getting half his money back afterwards. It's just all very suspicious when you look at it like that, isn't it?
Why did that ever come into your head? Just accept that it's a dog that can do really good tricks.
Anyway, I was thinking of not saying anything on the radio today because I thought, well, what I'll do next year is I will perform in an animal outfit, but I'll perform these amazing dance moves, but I'll perform as part of a troupe so I could be the new diversity mixed with dog act. It'd be the first of its kind.
So it's like a dance, like a street group, dance group,
yes.
But then there's a roller skating panda in it.
No, it's a dance troupe of dancing animals.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yes. I'm going to get a lot of small people involved and we're going to pull the same trick next year.
The general public will think that you're all cats or whatever.
Yes.
And then you'll be in a feline diversity.
Yes.
So what do you need? Children? Because surely they wouldn't be quite good enough, would they? Or do you just need really small people?
Ideally just small people. I'm thinking, do you remember Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
I'm thinking someone like him.
Give him a ring, he'd be up for it.
I think I need five or six and we'll just do... There'll be spins, there'll be...
Why did Danny DeVito the first person that came to your head?
I don't know.
Who else?
Vern Troyer.
He'd be good.
But you get the idea that there'll be a lot of small people in, but it'll be really tight dancing, all synchronised.
It'll be like the diversity act on Saturday night, which was brilliant. Did you see that?
Yeah.
But
with animals...
But penguins doing it.
Yeah, but people genuinely thinking that they are animals, like that Pudsey.
Why don't you tweet Danny DeVito and ask him if he's up for it next year?
I'll tweet Danny DeVito. I'm worried that now we've talked about it, we've sort of let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. But hopefully by next year they will have forgotten. But if there's anyone else who wants to get involved in this, get in touch and we'll do this.
Maybe the bloke who's inside Pudsey will be up for joining your troupe next year.
Yes, I do. He's got experience.
Double your money.
Sort of conning people.
Ow! What's occurring?
An easy chance to get some Scott Mills points with Oh, What's Occurring? Right. Right, Greg James.
Oh, yeah.
You right?
Yeah, looking forward to tonight.
What's so funny? Everyone, I just went outside. I just went outside and there were two people going, ha-ha-ha! All I'm doing is playing a gig at the Player of the Year Awards for Manchester United. What could go wrong?
Well, I just don't know. It's going to be a tough crowd.
Toughest crowd yet, maybe.
I personally, genuinely, I was trying to think of a tougher crowd. I can't think of one. I can't think of a tougher crowd today.
Mm.
I give it a couple of weeks. But
yeah.
Today, the morning, the night after, the evening before.
Is it going to be worse than back in the day when I had to present a Radio 1 event and go on stage in front of a lot of people at the Shepherd's Bush Empire and persuade them to stop booing Steve Brookstein?
Potentially worse. Even worse than that.
Because that was tough. Stop booing, we're putting this on TV.
Why were they booing?
Boo! Because they just didn't like him.
Oh.
I know.
No other reason apart from that. No,
well, I don't know why.
Don't forget, this is football. And this is one of the most controversial things in our world, let alone...
Today.
I can't believe you're doing it. Why have they booked you?
On the 10-minute takeover once, we had someone picked... what football song was it? Even if we play Three Lions, you get the most hatred ever. You get the worst words sent to you, even if you play Three Lions. We played You'll Never Walk Alone, okay?
Oh.
We played that. Someone picked it on the 10-minute takeover. We played it. I've never seen so many swear words on one computer screen.
Greg, I'm just going to keep it generic. I'm thinking David Guetta. I'm thinking Rihanna.
Oh, you can't play that there.
Why?
I wouldn't.
What, Rihanna?
I wouldn't.
What are you saying?
I wouldn't.
What's wrong with David Guetta? That's all my set.
Tevez loves Guetta.
Oh, God.
Oh, what's occurring?
Well, wish me luck, everyone.
He called her Sergio Aguilera.
He called her Sergio Aguilera.
God, I've got myself in trouble.
Ah! Okay, it's time for Oh, What's Occurring. One of our listeners called Elle in Bristol spotted this one. There she was, casually watching The Zoo on ITV2.
I love that show. What?
The
Is
Zoo.
Is that a real show?
Yeah, it's about a zoo. And there was a gorilla handler on there. It's a simple question. On ITV2's The Zoo, how many times did the gorilla handler say to the gorilla, "Good boy"? Which I think is extremely patronising. I'd be afraid the gorilla would snap. How many times?
20.
20 good boys. Chris?
I'm going to go 15.
There's only one way to find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
So here is the gorilla handler saying to the gorilla, good boy, on the zoo on ITV2.
Born and bred at Dublin Zoo, Kisho is 12 years old and just entering his prime.
Kisho, what's this? Good boy. Oh, good boy. Good boy. Kisho in here. Good boy. Good boy.
He's a handsome boy.
He's definitely the best looking.
Your definition.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. Looks like an athlete. Good boy. Thirsty. Oh, good boy. Oh, good boy.
Kisho may well be a handsome gorilla.
He has got a great face.
Good boy.
Kisho.
Good boy.
Good boy. See the size of his hands. Massive hands. Good boy,
Kisho. Welcome to London. He's looking absolutely brilliant, considering he's been in the box for the best part of a day.
Good boy. He's such a good boy. What do I think? Brilliant, he's awesome, he's really good.
Kisho's Dublin keeper, James Crichton, has travelled over from Ireland.
OK, Kisho, good boy. Good lad. Come here, Kisho. Good boy.
He's in fantastic shape.
He's in good nick.
Good lad. Here.
Good boy.
Here,
good
Kisho.
Boy. Good here. Boy. Good boy. Good boy.
Kisho.
Good boy. Up here, Kisho. Come on. Good boy.
Good boy.
He's such a good boy.
Quite a lot in there. In fact, there are 29 good boys in there. Greg was nearest, but doesn't get the points, of which there were 10.
If you said 29 good boys in
he
there.
He does have a great face.
Yeah, he's probably the best looking gorilla I've ever seen.
Welcome to London.
You have to say that.
What's the kidding?
Kisho, welcome to London.
What's occurring?
Right, we need to use the voice changer for the next bit, so let's test that out right now with Chris. Hi. Hello?
Hello, all good?
No, that's not working, is it? That could have been a massive blunder there, because the one that doesn't speak could have used that microphone and we'd have heard him speak for the second time ever. Try it again, please.
Is this working?
We're on now.
One, two.
What was that? Good, it's working.
All good, yeah.
Right, so just need to check that, because that would have been awful, wouldn't it, Greg?
Oh, yeah, we can't hear. One doesn't speak again.
I know. So, we know from last week's show that the one that doesn't speak is most excellent at bobbing for apples.
Duking.
What?
Duking for apples. In Scotland.
But do you think he's good at holding his breath? I think he could be some kind of synchronised swimmer. He just looks the type. Any good at holding his breath underwater? Well, we're about to find out on today's Oh, What's Occurring. It's a very simple question for both of you here. How long can the one that doesn't speak hold his breath for underwater?
Isn't this really dangerous?
He's got his glasses off. Well, it's been tried on Britain's Got Talent the other day, where they have to go outside in those big kind of glass cages. You see that?
Becky wouldn't allow this, though.
She wouldn't, but, you know, at the moment she's not here.
We've got the dog on the show later.
We wish her well. Have you really?
Well, we've got Ashley and you can hear the dog.
Actually coming in?
No.
Oh.
Is it definitely a real dog?
We could have seen if it was... Is it though? Because we were discussing this earlier. Is there a zip up the back?
I asked Ashley if it was a real dog and we'll find out after 4.
Excellent, thanks. Right, okay, so how long underwater, the one that doesn't speak?
I'm going to go 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes!
He's not James Bond.
I think he's going to surprise us here.
Just 2 minutes.
Go on, though. I'm going to be cheering you on.
Can I just say, if it is 2 minutes, that will be forever. He will be forever done. He'll be gone. Needs to be...
We witness the passing of the one that doesn't speak.
We do not anyone to pass away during the show.
No, we do not. So how long?
35 seconds.
Well...
No, that's too long. Even that's too long.
Is it?
25 seconds.
Well, let's find out as the one that doesn't speak heads underwater.
Oh,
here we go, everybody. Not yet.
Oh! What are you doing?
He's underwater and start the countdown.
Oh, hang on.
Now!
Yeah.
He's held it.
He's doing well.
He's face down.
This is awful. Please stop.
Go on.
Do not try this at home.
Don't try it anywhere. Is he out?
Are you out? He's out. Okay.
He's out.
That was 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
What?
Well, you said 35.
I said 35.
Did you not?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought you said 35 seconds.
Yep.
Which means you were within the time, so yes. Greg James gets 10 Scott Mills points. That was horrific. That sounded awful.
Are you okay when it doesn't speak?
You okay? Oh, hang on.
I'm fine.
And that was today's I Was Occurring.
Oh. What's occurring?
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads.